Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Ah, can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Welcome into WEEI Afternoons. It's Shime and Mego with you today, taking you up until 6 o'clock. And Mego, you are glowing today. Let me tell you, you are...
Hey, don't start any rumors.
No, sorry, wrong word then, I guess. You're radiating this this aura, if you will. Aura times 1,000, as the young kids would say. It is a big day for you. Your Washington Commanders got the win over the weekend against the Detroit Lions. Divisional football was... awesome across the board. Do you think it lived up to the hype? Especially Ravens-Bills was like the most anticipated game of the year. Did it live up to the hype?
Absolutely. I think that aside from my own Commanders fandom, the biggest win of the weekend was outdoor football.
Oh,
outdoor
so good.
Football.
So
starting
good.
With the Eagles game, that snow game, the cinematic experience. The seeing in the Ravens game, how much those conditions impacted what they were able to do. Don't put these games in a dome. Now, I'll say, my guy Jaden Daniels was excellent in a dome Saturday night.
Yep. So he's going to have to go outdoors next week. But
not going to complain about that. Like, I like the outcome for that. But that's kind of what I was thinking about. Like, the MVP quarterback matchup that we were supposed to have in primetime last night, I don't think it totally lived up to the hype. I think that the game was about a lot else, including the conditions.
Yeah.
But I was just like, man, I am just having a great time sitting on my couch in front of my fire, watching these guys scrap it out in these awful, blistering cold and Arctic conditions.
Oh, so
and I'm
good.
Just sitting back here, like feeling cozy as a snug as a bug in a rug, and just keep it like that. No more of these domes. Everybody wants to build a dome so they can host the Super Bowl, so they can have their Beyonce and Taylor Swift shows. I want to watch that. Those are the games that we remember as kids.
Snow football is so much fun. It's chaotic. Anything can happen at any given time.
Guys are wearing the weird snow cleats. They're slipping all over.
All over the place. Guys,
everybody looks like Gumby stretching out.
In that Eagles-Rams game, it was literally like a battlefield. Guys were getting hurt left and right, but it was just like war on the football field. It was awesome. You get great images like that Josh Allen touchdown against the 49ers earlier in the year. You get so many good moments. I mean, there was a point in time where I was watching the Rams-Eagles game and Matthew Stafford had a legitimate like coating of snow on his helmet. I'm like, this is great. This is awesome. A guy who plays in LA, who plays in a dome, who hates probably, I think Fitzy sent me, he's 1-8 in snow games prior to that game, now 1-9, was just out there lighting it up in the snow. It was awesome. You're absolutely right. Outdoor football was the winner of the weekend.
So I did see a lot of people, I think because I'm starting to realize I might be the only Washington football fan that anyone north of the Mason-Dixon line has ever encountered.
So I actually grew up with one, so okay. I'm accustomed to this.
Because the amount of very sweet messages that I got and tweets and everything about the huge victory Saturday night and Jaden Daniels, and even while the game was happening, I was like, wow, I might be the only one that people know. And this is great for me, but like I did not expect this outpouring.
Yes.
I also feel, though, that I'm prepared for this to be the happiest that I'm ever going to be with Washington again.
Ever?
Yeah. That's ever. Where I'm at.
That seems aggressive.
Okay, well, it goes back to the Houston game. Like, so I was watching it this weekend, and you know how we talked on Saturday. I said, I feel like the line for the Commanders game is high, but I also feel like there's just a 17% chance is what I gave. Terry McLaurin's number.
Okay.
Said a 17% chance that Washington was going to be able to beat the Lions. So I did not anticipate it at all. So it might just be that I have something of an old-fashioned Red Sox fan.
Yeah.
Deep in my heart.
You just feel like something's going to go wrong.
Not even something's going to go wrong. It's just never going to go this right again. Everything that has gone right for this Commanders team feels so fluky, feels so vibey.
Does it, though? I think
it's such a fast turnaround.
Yeah, but I think in large part it is, like, it's karma. You get rid of the horrible, obnoxious, detestable owner. You bring in a completely new group, fresh faces, people you can actually, like, I don't know, kind of get behind. And then you bring in a coach who'd been to a Super Bowl, unfortunately lost in epic fashion, but a culture guy. You get this young upstart quarterback who was in college forever, it felt like. There were a lot of question marks, but all he does is smile, and he's happy, and then just...
And ball out.
Yeah, and the team kind of just embodies that. They embody those two guys, the head coach and the quarterback, and they just kind of live it. And I think in today's football, I think Dan Campbell's a perfect example. You can win footballs like that. You have one guy on the field who can kind of help you and inspire you a little bit, and then you have a coach who kind of leads the way in the culture aspect, and things can just go right, and things can just go your way, especially when you're, you know, converting on fourth down at an 81% rate. Like, that helps.
I guess what I'm trying to say is throughout the regular season, especially the way that the offense started out, just so hot, I felt like it's been playing with house money the entire time.
Yeah,
and,
I get that.
And the annoying things that people said to me within my own home about, oh, you know who else who else had a wonderful rookie season at quarterback? Ooh, mobile quarterback, RG3.
Not this wonderful.
And I'm also talking
wonderful.
About you, Albert Breer, because I was at NBC Sports Boston before Early Edition one night talking about Jaden Daniels. I was like, Albert, what do you think about Jaden Daniels? And he was like, RG3. And I was like, what is, you're a professional. Why is it RG3 this, RG3 that forever?
They're very different.
I don't even feel that it's about RG3, like that something catastrophic is going to happen anymore.
Yeah.
I just feel like it's never going to get to the point that we're at now. I had this thought on Sunday morning when I woke up. I went, what if the Ravens win? And then what if both those teams win the conference championships?
Lamar versus Jaden Daniels.
And then we have a Beltway Super Bowl. And yeah. I was like, I might buy tickets to that because I would know so many people who would go.
Yeah.
I would know so many people who would shell out insane amounts of money just to go to that. And it would be so fun. And then I'm like, what am I doing? This is never going to happen. A rookie quarterback has never started the Super Bowl. This doesn't happen. It's not going to happen this year. I need to accept this is as good as it's going to get. They're going to get stomped out by Philly and all their disgusting fans next weekend. And I'll just have to live with that and I'll be happy. And then they'll probably be like the Houston Texans or the Bengals, who actually got to the Super Bowl but didn't win. They'll be like these teams that have these incredible young quarterbacks, and then they get stuck in neutral because they're actually not that great of franchises.
Maybe.
That's where my expectations
are. Yeah, and I respect it. You are just, you're not letting yourself kind of get out of control. You're keeping things in perspective, and I get that. I'll get out of control for you.
I can't have my heart in this.
Like, Jaden Daniels is going to the Super Bowl. Like, this is, and it just, you can just.
Is that why you're wearing burgundy?
Yeah, absolutely. You can kind of just feel it. Like, it's one of those things where it's like,
I don't allow myself to.
I don't think there's anybody on the planet at this point that is going to slay the Kansas City Chiefs aside from Jaden Daniels. I just don't. I feel
what?
Like, I feel like that.
You think that
Jaden
Daniels?
I'm kind of in
and
that
the Commanders
mode.
Are going to go up against Kansas City,
yes.
And be the heroes,
yes.
That all New England Patriots fans need
I
because
like,
they don't want to see the three-peat from KC with Taylor Swift and whoever else of her famous buddies are up in the suite.
The entire region is going to be on your side for maybe the first time ever.
I can't bear that. I won't be able to.
That's
it'll
how
be
I feel.
Too much pressure.
It feels like they are on
like,
a collision course.
You don't understand. The last 20 years of my life has been literally at one point in college taking a hat that I had, a Washington hat at the time, and throwing it out my dorm window because I was so mad, or crying into my pillow when they lost to the Cowboys, like as a 19-year-old young woman. This is not, I can't bear the level of hope that is around this. I'm not ready for it.
It's okay.
It happened too quickly.
You can.
I'm not ready.
You can put your expectations low. I'll keep them high for you. It just feels like the two most unstoppable forces in the NFL this season are Jaden Daniels. He seems inevitable. Fourth quarter, if he doesn't already have a lead, like, there's a really good chance it's a one possession game and he's going to get you a lead because he has been ridiculous on fourth down, on every down. This guy has been awesome. No moment seems too big for him. And then the Kansas City Chiefs, whether it's the referees or it's Patrick Mahomes or it's just a well-coached football team that doesn't make mistakes in critical moments. However you view the Kansas City Chiefs, they feel, again, unstoppable. And as much as I want Josh Allen to slay that dragon, I just don't know if he can. He's 0-3 against the Chiefs in the playoffs. Granted, 4-1 in the regular season, that's great.
Isn't it kind of like the Peyton Brady thing? Like, it has to happen at some point.
Yeah, you'd think so. I would have said the same thing about Lamar Jackson winning multiple playoff games.
Oh, I did.
And yet,
not,
here we stand.
I did not think that Ravens team was going to win it at any point yesterday.
Really?
I just didn't have the belief. I mean, it's still surprising to me that they were favored in that game. The Bills were so clearly the better team. And there's this weird narrative. And I wanted to play that sound at the top from Josh Allen because right after the game, he does the nobody believes in us.
Yeah.
Pro Bowlers are on that team?
No, but
what is this? No, everybody said we were too small. I'm like, look, you're not Peyton Pritchard out there other teams giving you the too small Josh Allen.
But before
Everyone's
the season, people were like saying that the Bills weren't going to make the playoffs. That was a real thing.
Who was saying that?
There were a lot of
were
people
you saying,
saying
that?
No, absolutely not. I had the Bills in the Super Bowl, actually.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
So thank you.
I had Bills
Smart
Eagles.
Smart ones knew.
Yeah, of course. Yes, yeah, some of us knew. But there were a lot of people out there who doubted the Bills this year prior to the season. And I understand that maybe he's going way too far back to try and pull receipts.
I think he was being a little Michael Jordan making things up a chip on his shoulder.
Honestly. But
which is great. Michael Jordan, incredible
competitor. That's probably not a bad thing to do, especially if you're Josh Allen, especially going into Kansas City. You need as much ammo and energy as you can possibly create in order to take down the Chiefs because, again, it just feels like they just feel Thanos snappy. It's just inevitable. It's just going to happen.
Thanos snappy, is he the guy who like controls the universe and timelines and stuff?
Yeah, so like when he was in the Marvel Cinematic Universe, he gathers all six of the Infinity Stones.
Is he evil?
Yes, technically, yes.
Wait, is there some kind of like woke Marvel where it's like, Thanos actually isn't evil. Thanos
no,
is just misunderstood. Thanos is actually just hurt.
No,
and
you
he's
understood.
Acting out on his hurt.
No. He was definitely evil, but you understood why he was doing it because he felt like erasing. Because he felt like life in general was overpopulating at a rate that resources couldn't keep up. And so by eliminating half of life across every universe, then the resources would still be able to keep up with the rest of everybody else. And so
that sounds really dark.
Yeah, it's super dark. It's
okay.
Super dark. But like, you know,
rough.
But you understood why he was doing it. Regardless, he says in the movie, he says, I am inevitable, and snaps, and that's when everything happens. And so it just feels like the Kansas City Chiefs are inevitable. They're just going to Thanos snap their way into the Super Bowl because that's what they always do. And Patrick Mahomes' entire starting career in the NFL, his worst finish is a loss in the AFC Championship game in overtime. If the Bills were to somehow beat him in regulation, it would be the worst season in his NFL career.
So, did you have many issues with the officiating in the Kansas City game?
I had tons.
Because I heard a lot of real discuss in time. And after the fact, it seems like it is other people's major takeaway who don't have any stock in any particular teams. Their takeaway is you can't extend drives for this guy this way, especially when it seems like he's flopping as a football player, which is a really hard thing to accomplish without hurting yourself.
It is kind of impressive in the way in which he's able to flop on a regular basis. But like, I was watching that game, the phantom roughing the passer penalty, the fishing for a call instead of actually going out of bounds, like stops just before
he
gets out of bounds.
He's been doing that for years.
Exactly. And it's infuriating. But like everybody could see it. And Troy Aikman finally on the broadcast, like called him out on it. Like, dude, you can't do this. You're making it impossible for defenders. And then on top of it, the play where he just decides not to slide until like the very, he's like dancing around his lineman. Then he's like, all right, I'm going to lay down on my back as two defenders go over the top of him. And all of a sudden there's a flag. It's just, there's a real disgust for me in the way in which Kansas City plays football. It is, whether it's, I just find Travis Kelce so beyond douchey, I can't stand it anymore. And then the way in which Mahomes plays football. And then the next play, after he tries to draw the out of bounds penalty, he throws some stupid touchdown that only Patrick Mahomes can throw. And I don't know what to do with myself. I don't know what to do. It's infuriating. And this is from somebody who bet on the Kansas City Chiefs and won a lot of money because they won a football game. It's just, it's so hard to watch. I've now learned to just emotionally hedge at all costs with the Kansas City Chiefs.
The Kelce part.
Yeah.
Is that a gradual development for you how you feel about Travis Kelce, or was there a hard pivot that has to do with the relationship he's in?
Nothing to do with the I actually think the Taylor Swift thing is probably like the most, his most redeeming quality.
Okay.
To be completely
honest.
Are
you a Swifty?
I'm a neighborhood Swifty. Like, I enjoy Taylor Swift.
What does that mean?
I'm not in the Swifty culture, but I'm adjacent to it. So I'm like the neighbor. I enjoy Swifty. So if people are jamming out to Swifty, I'm in. But I'm not going to go search it out most of the times. That's all.
It seems it's like pretty expensive to be a Swifty.
It seems very expensive.
Expensive in both money to go to these shows.
And emotional toll.
And you've got to put together outfits. And it seems very time consuming. And then you have to have opinions on her lyrics. I don't have time.
It's
too big of a hobby for me.
The only time I ever liked Travis Kelce was when he had the mustache and he looked kind of doofusy. And I was like, that's something I can get behind. That was a good look.
He looked like somebody from 70s adult films.
He looked like Mario. He literally looked like, hey, it's me, a Travis Kelce. Like that, I was in. That was when I was in. Outside of that, I hated him the entire time.
I don't have a problem.
The haircuts, the stupid looks on his face. Like, at least with Gronk, he was so dumb at times, it was kind of endearing. Travis Kelce, he just... Oh, God. And now him and his brother are just everywhere, and it's just oversaturation of Kelce for me, and I just can't do it. I'm out. I'm just so out on the Kelces.
I think that their family seems nice. I like his brother quite a lot. I tend to just like offensive linemen.
Yeah. And offensive linemen are good people,
absolutely
generally.
Absolutely the best people generally. To talk to in the locker room.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, bar none. Yeah. It's hard to
the
find
somebody.
The most
normal people.
Hard to find somebody who's going to be, like, more friendly, thoughtful, and take their time with you than an offensive
lineman. David Andrews.
Exactly.
Yeah, absolutely.
Exactly.
I get it.
But, Travis has always kind of annoyed me. And now I feel like I just have to turn around from the backlash on the Travis Kelce stuff that I'm just like, whoa, wait, I don't actually have a dog in this fight. Like, I don't want to stand 10 toes down for Travis Kelce when I really don't give a crap and I'm sick of the Chiefs like everybody else.
617-779-7937. That is the call-in number as well as the text number here on WEEI. We will continue with some discussion around the divisional round. We'll get into who the best quarterback is remaining in the playoffs. I also have a question that I feel like is going to make Mego's brain explode. We'll get to that coming up a little bit later on in the hour. We see you're already calling in. We'll get to some of the calls coming up here. But right now, David is going to get you caught up with what's trending.
Now, more.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
So it's a new year, 2025, and you're thinking, how am I going to make this year different? How am I going to build something for myself? But where do I start? Shopify is how you're going to make it happen, and here's how. Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. The best time to start your new business is right now. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates, no coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year because you didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to start selling with Shopify today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Jeffrey Dahmer, Ted Bundy, the Night Stalker. These names are infamous, but do you really know what drove them to kill?
In Mind of a Serial Killer, we don't just tell you the story, we break down the psychology behind it.
Follow and listen to Mind of a Serial Killer, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with Crime House Studios, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Mego and Chime on WEEI.
Mego and Chime here on WEEI Afternoons. That, the Damian ESPN
Woody.
Crew, yeah. The ESPN crew
take.
Really getting after it. It's impressive. It actually, it's similar to the question I have for you coming up a little bit, Mego. It does involve Jaden Daniels. But, like, I look at this and he's... Come on, Josh Allen has also been playing tremendous quarterback, and then like everybody on the planet knows who Patrick Mahomes is.
Right.
Is it wrong to say Jaden Daniels is outplaying Jalen Hurts? Absolutely not, because he absolutely is. Jalen Hurts has been playing like crap, and Jaden Daniels has played the best quarterback in the NFC basically all year. I don't disagree, but there are three guys in the AFC who have had equal to, if not much better years than Jaden Daniels.
Is it better to be early on a take or late on a take? Because I think Damian Woody is just trying to be extremely early on this take so he can say, I was the one.
I was right.
I was the one who saw it.
Yeah.
I don't think anybody around is sitting around going, Jaden Daniels is so pedestrian.
No,
nobody's there.
Nope. So he just beat the Lions at 45-31. Nobody is calling him pedestrian.
Well, so the only way that you can get people to fight with you and that you can be team Jaden Daniels ahead of everybody else
is to just say,
he's the best. Not only is he the best rookie or the best in the NFC, he's better than Josh Allen and Patrick Mahomes. And I love that the takeaways on that panel was one person saying, he's right. And somebody else saying, wait, hold on.
And then Orlovsky going, no, he's not.
He's not right.
He's not right
he's
at
not
all.
Right.
And it's interesting because like I would say right now, the person playing the best quarterback in order would be Josh Allen, Jaden Daniels, Patrick Mahomes, Jalen Hurts. Playing the best right
that.
Now.
Yes.
I think that's
this
kind of
season,
the order.
Yes. These playoffs.
Correct. This season, 2024, that is the order of the guys left, in my opinion. And if you're going just like the best quarterbacks, it's Patrick Mahomes, Josh Allen. Then I would say Jaden Daniels, Jalen Hurts, because I just don't think Jalen Hurts has played well at all this year. And outside of the one Super Bowl run they made, he hasn't played great quarterbacking very much at all for the Philadelphia Eagles. It's been good, not great.
I'm so biased. I would agree with that, though. I think that that's the right. But again, I see what Damian Woody's doing here. He's trying to be early
on the
take.
He's trying to be the first one.
He's there. He's planting his flag.
You look the dumbest if you're wrong, but you look the rightest of the right if you're spot on. And that's kind of where you want to be.
And when you're dumb on how good someone is, then you can just be like, well, that athlete, that player disappointed me.
Yeah. It's like I was
it's
wrong.
Better
you
than,
know?
It's better than
things
being,
went wrong.
It's better
it's a
than being
fault.
Wrong about somebody falling off a cliff early.
True.
Or somebody being really bad and then it turns out they're pretty damn good.
Yep. I guess that's fair. You know, as someone who was really kind of on his game last night, I just knew the Ravens were going to go down, score a touchdown, and miss a 2-point conversion.
Are you talking about you being on your game?
Yeah.
Oh.
I tweeted it out. tweeted it out right before the Ravens started their drive. I'm like, for the drama, the Ravens go down, score a touchdown, like right away, don't get the 2-point conversion, they lose the game. And you know what? That's exactly what happened. Shimstradamus was right again. It was great. And so I just look at the quarterback play, though, and I'm kind of impressed because it is an all-time great quarterback in Patrick Mahomes, a guy playing the best quarterback of his life in Josh Allen, a rookie phenom the best rookie season we've ever seen in the NFL, probably, in Jaden Daniels, and then a quarterback being carried by arguably the greatest running back season in the history of football. Like, that's where we're at.
I think that's quite fair. I actually didn't even put Jalen Hurts in this little bit of research I want to give you, because I don't consider Hurts really in the same tier as Mahomes or Allen.
No.
I think he's pretty far away. And Jaden feels special on his own because he's a rookie, because he's doing this as a rookie, and it's so rare that you see somebody get to this point in the playoffs. Only four quarterbacks have done it since 2005. Mm-hmm. So he's kind of on his own island, and I'm not ready to go Damian Woody that way and say that he's all the way up with Mahomes and Allen, if not better than them. But Mahomes, he's got almost 4,000 passing yards, 26 touchdowns, 307 rushing yards. Allen's got 3,700 passing yards, 28 touchdowns, 531 rushing yards. These are from the regular season, mm-hmm. not including the playoffs. Daniels, 3,500 yards, just a little bit above that, 25 touchdowns, 891 rushing yards, which we talked about right before we got on air, because I felt I had to triple check this. I knew his rushing yards were high from watching the games week to week, but 899 rushing yards, like, that is Lamar territory.
Yep. 100%.
And that is absolutely insane for somebody who had rib injuries through a big stretch of the middle of the season.
Yeah, he wasn't running much at all for about 5 weeks or so in the middle of the season.
And we were sitting there going,
he missed an entire game.
Is he part of the Kingsbury cliff now?
Yeah.
Like, falling off a cliff in the second half of the season.
And instead, it turned out it was just an injury, and then he got healthy, and he's been great since then. I mean, he missed that Carolina game. Mariota came in and played well, and it was like, okay, maybe it's just a Cliff Kingsbury thing. But then Jaden Daniels comes back. He's like, no, I'm healthy. I'm good. And he's been on this insane run. And so I look at these guys and I'm like, these are probably, outside of Lamar Jackson, like, these are three of the four best guys at quarterback this year. Like, it's like Lamar Jackson, Joe Burrow are the only two guys you could talk mm-hmm. about. But, like, Joe Burrow's team was so bad, which is one of the reasons his stats were so high, because he just had to throw all the time because his defense couldn't get a stop to save their lives. They get one stop and they win a couple extra games. And so I think that's one of the reasons Joe Burrow had as good a season he did. But then you look at Lamar, Josh Allen, Patrick Mahomes. I mean, Mahomes is just Mahomes. And then Allen Lamar statistically had great seasons. But Jaden Daniels is like right there. Yeah. He was right there with all of them.
I think this is as good as it's going to be.
Yeah, like you say that, but I don't know.
I'm hedging so hard.
Well, there's another Commanders fan on the line. Greg in Paxton wants to talk to us. What's up, Greg?
Hey, how are you?
Good. What's up?
Mago, I just want to say, don't worry.
Don't worry?
Jaden Daniels. No, don't worry about Washington. Jaden Daniels, he has no pulse. That kid is unbelievable. I've been a fan since 1982. Since they won that Super Bowl against Miami way back in the day. And he is the real deal. And Chime, I just want to ask you, would you still take Drake May over Jaden Daniels?
Fair question, Greg.
That is a great question.
I think right this second you have to take Jaden Daniels. Oh. I don't think you can argue that. I love Drake May. I still think Drake May is going to be great. But, like, Jaden Daniels has been, again, the greatest rookie quarterback season we've ever seen.
I'm starting to worry about your loyalty.
No, stop.
Okay, first last week, and it was just last week, even though it feels like it was a month and a half ago, the Patriots brought in Mike Vrabel.
Yeah.
And Ben Johnson is just a name that you don't say anymore. We went through an entire Lions-Commanders conversation.
Don't worry, I'll say.
And you didn't say Ben Johnson one time, That was your guy.
I'll say his name in like a week when he gets hired by Tom Brady.
You spent the entire season talking about Drake May. Not the entire season. Nay, you spent three quarters of the last calendar year talking about Drake May.
Yep. Maybe even the entire calendar.
And now you're lusting after Jaden Daniels over Drake May.
Hold on.
This is... Like, did your future wife listen to these shows?
Yes, she does. Sometimes. Not all the time. But look, it's just... I'm not going to sit here and deny facts. Like, it's just, if you tell me 2 + 2 = 4, I'm not going to say no, it equals 5. Like, it's just, it is what it is. Jaden Daniels has been amazing. He has been so good. And I think in large part, he was he got drafted by a team with a coach who was an experienced coach, knew what he was doing. He hired an offensive coordinator who has had a lot of success with quarterbacks like Jaden Daniels. Took some time to kind of learn himself in Thailand. Came back a better man. Clearly is having a way better play calling season than he has had ever.
I kind of forgot about the Kingsbury one-way ticket.
Yeah, the one-way ticket to Thailand thing. Yeah. Changed him. Whole new man.
It's going to be like, I hope he makes a spot in the new White Lotus season that's coming out.
Ooh.
Because I believe, I don't know if it's Thailand, but it's that general area.
Yeah, yeah.
And might be Vietnam.
And so Kingsbury found himself. He was great. And then the defense has been spotty at times, but they've come up with a lot of big plays. And then, again, like Jaden Daniels just has... Greg was right. He has like no pulse. This kid has ice in his veins. In every moment, he is smiling. He's just happy to be on a football field. And I think I took for granted a lot, especially in the draft process, just how many snaps he's taken, even at the college level. Like, I think that matters. You see him and Bo Nix this year with the amount of college snaps they took, and then they were put in good systems with sturdy coaching. It's like, oh, these guys can play football. And in Jaden Daniels' case, like, extremely well. And I think that's one thing for sure that I took for granted, because in the past, guys like Colt McCoy, guys like Tim Tebow, who had played 4 years as a starter in college, sucked. And so 9 times out of 10, I would rather just take the more talented guy. And in this case, you know, Jaden Daniels moves on from Brian Kelly and he wins just like Notre Dame. Like, it's just kind of what happens.
We'll get there later in the show.
Yeah, you're right.
Big game tonight. I will say one more thing. I think what is fascinating to me about Jaden's rookie season, just as a quarterback watcher, not as a Washington fan, is that his ability to play the style that he plays in and not be a turnover machine. Because we've all kind of accepted from somebody, from Josh Allen and somebody like Drake May, who isn't a turnover machine. A lot of the turnovers that are going to go down in his stats for his rookie season were
not
just
his fault.
Bad luck, bad receiver play.
Absolutely.
A lot of the time. You know, there were some that he would want back, but not all on him. But with Jaden, it's like he's somebody who throws bombs, throws a deep ball, and scrambles and rushes. And you would think that all those things would really lend to him racking up all these turnovers. But as you said, it's just not really a huge part of his game.
Yeah, I kind of look at it. So he had 2 fumbles prior to that Tampa Bay playoff game. He had 2 fumbles all season.
That's
all
insane.
Regular season. For a guy who ran for 890 yards.
And maybe weighs 130 pounds.
Yeah.
I'm kidding. I know he
Soaking
weighs way
wet.
More than that, but that's what it looks like.
But exactly. Especially, so you look at Lamar Jackson. Lamar Jackson fumbles the ball quite a bit, right? Like, yes, he only threw 3 interceptions this year, but he had 1, 2, 3, 5, 6, 7, 9, 10 fumbles prior to the playoffs. Like, that's a drastically different number. And so I think that to me is one of the more impressive things. Josh Allen's the only one that you can really kind of compare to Jaden in that regard right this minute, is that Josh Allen had a phenomenal season running and passing and didn't turn the football over.
Right.
If he didn't fumble, he only threw, 4 or 5 picks this season. So, like, he was awesome. And Jaden kind of played in that mold as well. And I think that is what is most impressive about the season. Let's hear from Mike in Maine. What's up, Mike?
Yeah, I just wanted to weigh in on this whole Mahomes thing. Everybody's focused on Mahomes, and I just feel like 2 things. Number one, you blame Houston for going for it on 4th and 10, coming out of the huddle with 6 seconds and actually
so
snapping
dumb.
The ball. That was the game.
So dumb.
I think people are focusing on Houston, on Mahomes, and yeah, he flopped, but it didn't get called. And the second thing that he did is when he went down, like, these defenders need to learn. Stop diving at quarterbacks, whether you make contact or not. And then the other thing is, I think we as Patriots fans, like, I don't understand this thought process that we need to see the Chiefs lose. I'm actually rooting for the three-peat to make NFL history, because I don't care what the Chiefs do. It doesn't take anything away from what the Patriots did for 20 years. And we sound like the same loser organizations that made fun of the loser fan bases rooting against us for 20 years. So I can't stand that mentality. I wish we would rise above that crap.
All right, Mike, thanks for the call. I appreciate it. I don't root for the against the Chiefs because I don't want them to do what the Patriots did.
What the Patriots didn't.
Or what the Patriots didn't do, and that it would take away from their greatness. That doesn't matter to me. It's just more so that I dislike Patrick Mahomes. I said on these airwaves after, like, his second season that he was overrated. I still believe in my heart of hearts that, like, people overrate him at times. Like, he is amazing. He is. Don't get me wrong. But it's just, I don't know. There's parts of me that still feel like a lot of what has happened is overrated. And maybe that's just a bias that I have against Patrick Mahomes and the douchery that is Travis Kelce. Maybe that is. But
I think people, a group of Patriots fans, a swath of Patriots fans look at the Chiefs and go, everyone's comparing them to us and they're not us. We are more impressive and we are more special than the Chiefs. Brady greater than Mahomes. Gronkowski greater than Kelce. Belichick greater than Reed. And if they three-peat, it's one thing that they can already point to and say, look, you were never able to do that. You were never able to sustain that. You had to go through a decade of, like, just not making it anywhere and getting beat by Mark Sanchez before you could get back to the top of the mountain. Like, I know it wasn't exactly that long, but what I'm saying.
Yeah.
And I think that that's where the being territorial about the Chiefs comes in.
Yeah.
They don't want Mahomes peeing on their territory.
Yeah.
And they go, this is us. We are more special than you. You will never be as special as us.
It's why Joe Montana hated Tom Brady.
This reign lasted for 20 years and you're just trying to do this all at once. And that's less special.
It's why the Mercury Morris and the 72 Miami Dolphins pop champagne every time there's no more undefeated teams left. Like, I get it.
But isn't that, again, to the caller's point, that is really living in the past.
Oh, yeah. Without a doubt.
Not quite as bad as the Dolphins because it's not that far gone. But, yeah. I don't know. I also don't know a ton of Patriots fans. Call me in if you're one of these because maybe it's just this iteration of the Bills team.
Mm-hmm.
This Bills team is so likable.
Oh, my God.
Behind Josh Allen. He just seems like a great guy.
Well, so that's kind of where I'm at. Like, if Josh Allen goes out and wins three straight Super Bowls, I'm rooting my ass off the whole time.
He's fun. He says the right stuff.
He's like a golden retriever.
Exactly.
You can't hate a golden retriever. They're just adorable and lovable and goofy and somewhat dumb, and it's great. And they're the best.
But are there Patriots fans out there that are so disgusted at the idea of choosing between the Chiefs and the Bills? It's like, ugh, I would rather not either of them if you're a Patriots fan. But the Bills, you don't want to see them just be the ones who are at the top of the AFC East for the next 10 years now.
Well, yeah, because you're still rooting for the Patriots. But at the same time, like, again, I think there is, to a degree, like, a good thing to root for greatness. I think that's enjoyable. It's fun to watch. It's just, like, for me, watching this Kansas City Chiefs team do it is infuriating. I just don't like them. And I think that's the hardest part for me is it's, like, I can't stand them. And so then on top of it, watching them make history like that would just infuriate me beyond no end. I'm going to gamble on them. I just want to make this very clear. I'm going to bet on the Kansas City Chiefs this week. And when they beat the Bills, I'll bet on them in the Super Bowl. Because that's just because I've learned my lesson financially when
This isn't gambling. This is financial planning.
Yes, this is financial planning. Just bet in the playoffs. Just bet on Patrick Mahomes. You'll generally walk away very happy. And so that's what I've done is emotionally, I will root against the Chiefs with every fiber in my being. But when they do win financially, I'll be better off. And that's okay.
I think what I'm wondering is rivalries in pro sports feel more fleeting than they ever have before, whether it's basketball. There were these rivalries that you had that were really passed down from father to son, mother to daughter, of we hate that team. And it's definitely more carved in stone with football, with college football, I should say. Like college football, I feel like that gets passed down for generations.
Oh, yeah.
A lot of it is regional. Who are the Patriots fans of the future going to know as the team that they hate? Because for a while, because of
the Giants,
because of the Peyton Brady thing, you had the Colts, like a great rivalry there. And then you had a little bit of...
But wasn't really a rivalry. You kind of kicked their ass 90%
right.
of the time.
But that's like that's kind of like how Yankees Red Sox was for 86 years.
Sure.
You know?
Yeah, I guess that's
like
fair.
Like a rivalry doesn't always mean that you're going back and forth. It means that you...
Could be kind of
there's no love
the big brother
lost,
you can't beat.
And yeah, there's different types of it.
Yeah.
I'm just wondering, the Patriots don't really have one team who they hate. So I guess the Jets, you're on the other side of that, but is that
Jets hatred still there though?
Like, yeah,
I know
that's
it is,
what I mean.
I know it is for the older fans and the people who have kind of been here a while, but for that newer generation, you're right. I don't think there's that same hatred
feel like
for the Jets.
It's ever been the Bills. You don't want to see anyone in your division overcome you.
Yeah.
Of course, you want to be the top of your division, but there's not something that has the staying power of like a Yankees, Red Sox Yankees, which even has lost its luster over the last 20 years because it's more evened out and it just doesn't pack the same punch. But there's just not that team for the Patriots. I guess he'd have to say it's the Jets.
Yeah, and even that's still kind of hard. Like, it's more so just the Jets because Aaron Rodgers is kind of a douche. But, like, if they move on from him, Jets aren't all that hateable. There's not many. There's no, like, Bart Scott on the Jets that it's like, ugh, this guy sucks. I hate this guy.
Can you build a rivalry with a team like the Chiefs when you're in two different eras just because you don't want them to be you?
I don't think that counts. Like, I don't think, because I think the team needs to feel the way the fans do, right? When both sides' emotions are kind of in line where they just want to beat that team so bad, I think that's when it's real rivalry. Mm-hmm. But if, you know, fans hate the Chiefs because they're good, well, this team doesn't hate the Chiefs. They don't get beat by the Chiefs every year. Like, it's,
yeah.
This Patriots team just, I mean, they're not that good right now. But, you know, in general, it's like, I guess you could say the Bills, but a lot of Patriots fans, I think, like the Bills because they're just, again, like you said, a likable team. So it's kind of a weird spot that they're in that I don't really know who the next rival of the Patriots would be.
It kind of makes you feel less relevant than ever.
Oh, my God.
You don't even have a standing rivalry anymore.
Talk about depressing. 617-779-7937. You want to weigh in? That's the call-in number as well as the text line. It is Shime and Mego here on WEEI Afternoons on Boston Sports Original WEEI.
You're listening to Mego and Shime on WEEI.
Shime and Mego here on Boston Sports Original WEEI, filling in on WEEI Afternoons before the brand new show takes the stage tomorrow afternoon at 2 o'clock with Fitzy, Hart, and Ted Johnson. That'll be a fun listen. I'm excited for those guys to get off to a rip-roaring start. That'll be good. But Mego, I had a question I needed to ask you that I feel like might make your brain explode, especially how we started the program.
Okay, I'm scared. Is this going to be like a Marvel question? Because I don't know that stuff.
No. It has nothing to do with superheroes,
okay.
I promise.
Okay.
Unless you consider Jaden Daniels a superhero.
Okay.
So my question for you is, I know you're trying to keep your expectations low, but
okay,
is Jaden Daniels a top five quarterback already in the NFL?
What?
But like, seriously, it's a serious question. Hold on. Hear me out. It's a serious question because there's 2 minutes left in a football game.
Okay.
You need one quarterback to take you down the field to win the football game. It is Patrick Mahomes, Josh Allen, Lamar Jackson, Joe Burrow, Jaden Daniels.
Okay.
Is it not?
There must be someone else. You're not putting CJ Stroud in there?
I mean, did you see the way CJ Stroud played this year?
I know.
Not great.
But that's what I'm expecting from Jaden Daniels.
He was as good
Daniels
as Bryce Young
year.
Was this year.
Oh, that's tight. Okay, let's say second half Bryce Young.
But like equally, like their stats across the entire course of the season were the exact same basically this year.
So let me think this through because Joe Burrow to me is an obvious top five.
Yep. Yeah.
And
so that's
the other
why...
three that you named are quite obvious top fives.
Yep. Mahomes, Burrow, Allen, and Lamar. And then... like, who is next? What are you going to... I guess you can make the argument maybe Matthew Stafford, but he also might retire tomorrow.
That's true.
There's not an NFC. I wouldn't take Goff over Daniels. I wouldn't take Sam Darnold over Daniels.
What about Baker? Baker was like a fringy MVP candidate.
And Jaden Daniels just beat him a week ago.
True. Aaron Rodgers is moving out. He should be put out
to pasture as well.
Dak Prescott has always been a problem.
Jordan Love has struggled a lot, especially this year, throwing interceptions.
Nobody knows what Trevor Lawrence is. Everybody's wondering why Derek Carr is still in the league.
Justin Herbert, maybe, but like that playoff game, uninspiring.
Tua is pretty much
definitely
who we all
not.
Thought he was.
Yep. Russell Wilson
had a nice stretch.
He had a pretty good stretch.
And then he lost
six straight to end the year. That was good. Good for them.
I don't feel comfortable with this.
I know it's crazy, but...
So you're saying Mahomes, Allen,
Lamar, and Burrow,
and then Jaden's number five.
Yeah.
That's too crazy to me.
Is it? So that's kind of my question. 617-779-7937. Tell me if I'm crazy.
It's such a small sample size.
Yeah, but from what you have, you can only work with what you have, right? You can only play the teams on your schedule. You can only work with the sample size you have. I mean, he just beat the number one seed in the NFC. Wire to wire, who had been the best team in football, aside from the Kansas City Chiefs, to that point.
Okay, so if we're sitting here saying that everything points to, both the eye test, the stats, what they've done
everything.
In playoffs so far in this postseason, that Jaden is already a top five quarterback. How do you not feel horrible about that as a Patriots fan?
Oh, you feel terrible because
one
you know
more,
you could be in a similar position.
Loss in a meaningless season, and you couldn't have Jaden Daniels right now, who's a top five quarterback, and Drake May is awesome, but are we even prepared to put him in the top 12?
Or even aside from that, like, you could have made your season so much better. Your rookie quarterback, you know, is really good, but you did such a poor job putting stuff around him.
Oh, yeah.
The Commanders won, what was it, three games last year?
Yeah, and no, four. They were right with you.
Four wins last year, one of which was against you. Four wins last year, and they are now in the NFC Championship game. You won four games again this year.
And you got a new coach.
Because you chose not to hire the right coach. You chose not to hire a good offensive coordinator. You chose not to spend any money in free agency on veteran players like Tyler Biadasz and Frankie Louvu and Bobby Wagner.
Love
and
Bobby Wagner.
Jeremy Chinn, and the list goes on. And instead, you just kind of pocketed your money and you accepted your fate as another four-win team. When in reality, you could have spent a little bit of money, done a coaching search, maybe hired Mike Vrabel in the first place,
right,
and maybe have won 10 games, and Drake May would already be like a top 10 quarterback.
Well, you're even talking about top 10, and you already have Jaden Daniels in the top 5.
It's not crazy.
Shime, I don't think I can argue with
Text
you.
Text line says, I would take Daniels over Lamar today.
What?
That's what. That is
what?
A 978 texter right now.
You are a victim of recency bias, texter. Look, I'm wearing.
You may just hate Lamar, but still,
I'm quite literally.
I can't argue with him.
I'm wearing Jaden Daniels' jersey right now, number 5. I've got it on. If you're on Twitch, I guess I can't really make a strong argument for anyone else being the 5th best quarterback. And all I can say is, how does that not sting you as a Patriots fan? How
it's
does that not
brutal.
Sting you from every... Look, you can,
it
you can look at it and say, Drake May has as much potential as Jaden Daniels.
Absolutely.
If you do things correctly, two seasons from now, in their third year, both of them could be right at the same place. They could be like Allen and Mahomes. They
could be.
They could be right at the same level.
Keyword,
but the
could.
Commanders are already well ahead of schedule.
Yeah. And you are so behind
schedule.
You're
behind schedule. You're behind schedule.
You missed your last three trains.
If you had put around Drake May anything, if you had been able to draft one receiver and retain him, because you didn't draft Jacoby Myers, but at least you developed him in your system, and then you decided he wasn't worth a second contract.
And then you paid that to Juju
Smith-Schuster. Jacoby Myers could be Terry McLaurin.
Yeah.
Jacoby Myers could be your version of Terry McLaurin, and you don't have
and
him.
He's, and the rest
and
of his receivers.
You don't have anyone for Drake May. He has Hunter Henry, and that's it.
All you needed was like the Terry McLaurin, because the rest of his receivers are Olamide Zaccheaus, De'Ami Brown, who was like a failed draft pick 2 years ago, and the rebirth of Jamison Crowder.
Yeah.
You have a Zach Ertz because you have Hunter Henry. They're basically the same thing. They're older veteran tight ends who are sure-handed and come up in really big spots. All you needed was a better offensive line, which the Washington Commanders went out and signed guys in free agency
and
like
drafted.
Tyler Biadasz and drafted well, and then a legit number one receiver and an offensive coordinator like Cliff Kingsbury. Those are the three key things you're missing.
That is, I mean, it's a lot
it's
of
a
what
lot.
You're missing.
But
you're sitting
you
here.
You could have at least gotten a start in that direction.
So,
and
so
you didn't. You didn't get any of it.
If you're comparing May and Daniels, then you would say that it's not necessarily, hey, you picked the wrong guy, because May has shown us enough in his rookie season to say, you got the guy.
Yep.
You got the guy for you.
Yep.
He's going to be great
Absolutely.
For you. It's not like you missed on the guy by one draft pick.
Correct.
There's no way you could say we're putting Jaden Daniels in the situation that the team was in this year in New England, and he'd be a top five quarterback.
All of this is to say that quarterbacks in the NFL, a lot of times it's nurture versus nature. Sometimes, like, there is a lot of nurture involved in this. It doesn't matter how good they are. If the team and the situation is a disaster, things can just fall apart. And
so to flip it on its head, if Drake May had ended up down in D.C., are they in the NFC Championship game?
I don't think they're in the NFC Championship game, but I think they might have been a playoff team.
Oh, my God. Look how you're turning on your
guy. Hold on.
You are turning on your man.
I mean, to Jaden Daniels' credit, I know without a doubt that Drake May is that.
He might be a vampire.
He did it once against Tennessee, and they didn't go for two, and then they lost in overtime. And Drake May threw that interception in overtime. So, but like every opportunity Jaden Daniels has late in the fourth quarter, he is awesome. They were 81% on fourth down. Do you know how successful the tush push was this season?
I'm going to go ahead and say 84%.
82.4%.
Oh, that was close.
Jaden Daniels, anywhere on the field on fourth down.
He's essentially
fourth and one, fourth and five, fourth and six, doesn't matter. Is as good as the tush push.
He's a human tush push.
Yes, he is. 617-779-7937. We're going to get into the Boston Celtics coming up next here. It is Shime and Mego filling in on WEEI Afternoons.